It doesn't matter. I had to counsel somebody once, and they were talking about they don't feel. I said, you go find the verses in the Bible talking about feeling. It's not there. It's faith. It's not your feelings. So it doesn't matter whether you feel righteous or not. What does righteousness do for you? I mean, if you got $5 in righteousness, you can get a cup of coffee at Starbucks. If you got $5 in unrighteousness, you can get a cup of coffee at Starbucks, right? That doesn't make any difference. However, the righteousness could work toward making sure you've got the $5. So, and, you know, is when I get the opportunity to teach, and I prefer to say teach than preach, it's because I want all of us to walk in the blessings that God has given us. And I've said it before, I'm going to keep saying it. If we really were living in the privileges that God has given us, the wealth, the health, the wisdom, oh, the wisdom, the world would be beaten a path to our door. They would all want to know, how do you get this? And when we point them back to the Word of God, that's what God wants. He wants a personal relationship with you and them. And when that personal relationship benefits us, what does the world want? They want power. They want wealth. What has God given us in His Word? He's given us power. He's given us wealth. Because He's given us righteousness. That's the important factor. And it's not, we have to define the righteousness here. It's not my righteousness. It's like I said, I don't particularly feel righteous this morning. It's not. Isaiah, John, put that first verse up. Isaiah 64:6. Our righteousness, Isaiah 64:6. Isaiah is talking about our attempts to be right. Our attempts to put ourselves in a right place based on our behavior. Right. So, but we are all like an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses, plural, are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, our sin, is like the wind, have taken us away. Our sin separates us from God. That's what he's saying there. All our righteousnesses. You can, in your own self, behave righteous in one area and not another. You can be right and righteous on Sunday and living like the devil the rest of the week. Okay? You can be righteous in the way you treat other people and unrighteous in your thought life. Righteousness is, okay, all of our attempts to be right with God are like filthy rags. I don't care how good a job you're doing it with. If you never smoked, if you never drank, if you never cussed in your whole life, it doesn't matter. It's not good enough. If a gunman came in, and let's say we had, you know, the big cathedral ceiling, right? Let's just say we've got that wonderful big church building that everybody thinks of when they hear about a church building. And some gunman came in and said, if you can't jump and touch the ceiling, I'm going to kill you. Now, some of us might be able to jump a little higher than others. But none of us are going to be able to touch that ceiling. None of us can be righteous on our own works, our own attempt. That's not the righteousness that we're talking about this morning. That's not the righteousness that works for us. Romans 5:17 says that righteousness is a gift from God. For if by if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace. Remember, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay? The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will be submitted to, no, will reign. Be the one in authority. You're the one in authority over your mouth. Will reign in life through the one, Jesus. And remember, we got to remember what that word Christ means. The anointed one. That's a Greek word. It's the translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. And in English, it is anointed. To anoint. Okay? So reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ, or through the anointing of Jesus. That anointing that is ours through the blood of Jesus, through the anointed blood. Okay? So, if by one man, Adam's sin, death reigned through Adam's sin, much more those of us, who receive the abundance of grace, everything God promised through the law, we receive that. It's ours. The abundance of those promises, the abundance of grace, and the gift of right. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. There is absolutely nothing you can do that is going to make you righteous. It is a gift. You cannot earn it. The gift of righteousness will reign, will be in authority through the anointing of Jesus. Amen. That's the gift of righteousness. That's that force of righteousness in our life. Let's go to Romans 4, verse 5. We're going to talk about Abraham. I'm just going to, because I'm already getting long here. Verse 5 says, but to him who does not work but believes on him, who? Jesus, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. It is your faith, your believing God, that what he says is true. We'll go ahead and read the whole thing. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Righteousness isn't based on your behavior. Righteousness is based on what you believe. Okay? His faith has accounted for righteousness, just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes or accounts righteousness apart from works, not based on works. It's the gift of God. So we've got to declare this is God's righteousness, but it belongs to us because Jesus gave it to us. Psalm 45:6. Talks about the scepter of righteousness. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. What is a scepter? It's not just a staff or a rod that the king holds. It has a purpose. So there's a trial before the king. And he's got his scepter in his hand. He is sitting on his throne. And all the lords and ladies are there, and they're all giving testimony. But little Miss Nobody Sherry, who happened to witness the event, can't talk. She can't say anything because she's not a noble, right? Yeah, we know it's not possible for Sherry to not say something. But once that king takes that scepter and points it at her, now that's the scepter of righteousness. Now, all of a sudden, she has the same authority as the lords and the princes. And what she gives in testimony on that trial gets written down with everybody else's testimony. She is equal to everybody in that room that day because that scepter was pointed at her. The scepter of righteousness we have received. The king, God the king, has pointed his scepter at us and said, you're equal. We have our righteousness. It's given to us from God. I'm going to run through several verses real quick, and I didn't put these on there because, you know, with Phil having to make up this stuff, I didn't want him to have to do 50 verses today. So Psalm 45:6 talks about the scepter of righteousness, and here is what this scepter is doing for us. It's fruit. 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 talks about the fruit of righteousness. Okay? Righteousness exalts us. Psalm 89:16. Proverbs 12:28, righteousness is life. Proverbs 13:6, righteousness guards us. Proverbs 16:12, righteousness establishes us. Isaiah 54:14, in righteousness you will be established. There's no stopping this. We are, what is it to be established? You are put on a firm foundation. You're not going to slip. You're not going to fail. You're not going to fall. Righteousness establishes us. Romans 5:21, grace reigns through righteousness. God's riches at Christ's expense, at the expense of the anointed blood. All the gifts of God, all his promises are yes and amen. Grace reigns, is in authority through righteousness. We have authority through righteousness. Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Righteousness has a harvest. That's the fruit, the results of righteousness. All of these things that I'm talking about here. Being exalted, life, guarding us, establishing us, reigning. These are all fruits of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8, a crown of righteousness is ours in heaven. It says in Revelation, we'll take our crowns and throw them down before the throne, our crowns, and put them down before Jesus in the throne. We have a crown. We have a crown of righteousness. God put it on our head. It's there. It's ours. Isaiah 61:10 says God gives us a robe of righteousness. What is it about a robe? A robe completely covers you all over. Beth has a big, warm, fuzzy robe that she loves to wear when it's cold in the house. Because it's warm. It completely covers her. 2 Corinthians 6:7, righteousness is our armor. Our defense. Ephesians 6:14 specifically refers to it as the breastplate of righteousness. Isaiah 51:6, my righteousness will not be abolished. It endures forever. So it doesn't end. We are established. We are given life. We are guarded. We are protected. We are defended. And it doesn't ever come to an end. You know, miracles have an end. The blessing does not have an end. Miracles are temporary and they demand a crisis. When the children of Israel were walking through the desert in the wilderness, there was no way they could have provided food for themselves. So God provided food for 40 years. Through all their rebellion, through all their sin, he provided food for them. But it had an ending. when they got into the promised land and they were able to eat the new corn of the land, the manna stopped. Yeah. Okay? Miracles are temporary. Righteousness is forever. It never stops. It's there from the day you're born till the day you leave the planet. I'm not going to say die, because what is death? Death is taking off this earth suit and leaving. Yeah. Okay? We just transfer. We get to go home.
That's right.
You know, I want to go home, but I got things that God wants me to do, and I know it. So don't fear death. Do not fear death. It's just a graduation. Amen. I'm telling you. Righteousness endures forever. Hebrews 5:13. Let's look at this one, because, man, this popped out at me when I started looking at. There are over 300 verses in the Bible that mention righteousness. You know, I went through a lot digging out these verses on righteousness, the nuggets, but man, there is so much. Now, a lot of the stuff in the Old Testament is literally talking about self-righteousness or the righteousness of God, which is helping them. So, but for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Okay. If you can be unskilled in the word of righteousness, you can be skilled in the word of righteousness. So for everyone who partakes only of milk, if you're just listening to the word on Sunday, if you're listening to those preachers who tickle your ears with pleasant things and never actually give you some solid meat, I hope this is solid meat this morning, you're unskilled in the word of righteousness, but you can be skilled. Because if you can be unskilled, you can also be skilled. So it takes a little work, right? What do we need to do? We need to dig into the meat of the word and not just be a babe. And we can become skilled in righteousness. It's up to us. We have a choice to make. We have work to do. Jesus said this is the work, right? He called it work. To believe Jesus, who God sent. He called it work. There's things we have to do, and we live in a world that is so baptized in unbelief. Yeah. You know, you can listen to the 5 o'clock hour of doubt and despair followed by the 6 o'clock hour of doom and gloom.
True.
Or you can turn it off and turn on the word.
Amen.
Man, you can go to kcm.org or what, BVOV.TV or whatever it is. You can stream solid meat teaching 24 hours a day. The Victory Channel.
The Victory app.
And, you know, you can stream it 24 hours a day. My oldest daughter does a lot of that. And, man, that word coming out of her mouth left and right, she puts it in and out it comes. You know, I've said it before, it's like a toothpaste tube. Life is going to squeeze you. What's going to come out at the top? Is it the word of God or is it doubt and unbelief? Because life is going to squeeze us. And when we get squeezed, what needs to come out is the word of God.
Amen.
You know what? There are people around us who need that word coming out of our mouth because they don't have it. Sometimes it's people we're close to. Sometimes it's people we know that sit under good teaching, but life is just getting them to the point. They've been so beat down. They need somebody that they will believe to get out there and give them the word and build them up in their most holy faith. You know what? There are times all of us need that. I called up Tom one day and I said, Tom, I can't believe what's going on. This is just, I need some encouragement. He gave me some encouragement. He gave me the word. He quoted scripture to me for about 10, 15 minutes, and I just like, thank you. I really needed that. I just needed somebody to build me up for a little bit because it felt like I was becoming a punching bag. You know, the devil wants to do that. He wants to tear you down. He wants to beat you. So take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of truth, and fillet him. Okay? That sword, you know, the Bible, Revelation talks about the sword coming out of Jesus' mouth. That sword, that's the Word of God. That same sword can come out of your mouth. You can slice the devil up, dare I say, 20 ways to Sunday, with that word coming out of your mouth. But you're going to have to believe that word more than you believe the circumstances that are trying to get you down. We can be skilled in righteousness. You know, Paul told Timothy to pursue righteousness. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6:11. Also, 2 Timothy 2:22 says pretty much the same thing. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. It's something we have to go after. Who is Timothy? Timothy was a pastor. Some people would have called him a bishop because he was over several churches. Okay? And when Paul wrote to Timothy the first time, and again when he wrote to Timothy the second time, he said, pursue righteousness. It's something that needs to be a lifestyle. How do we pursue righteousness? We pursue it in this word. I'm pointing to my tablet here because that's where I read my Bible. The Bible's on the tablet. The tablet is a tool for good or bad. It's what you do with it that counts. Okay? You can get into God's Word and pursue righteousness. You can listen to good teaching that's pursuing righteousness. It's yours. Go get it. God's given it to you, but there is work involved. We have to believe. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what is faith? It's believing what God said is true, no matter what you see with your eyes. I'm sticking with that definition. You know, that occurred to me the other week, and I'm just like, you know what? I am hanging on to that. That is such a good, simple definition. So Paul told him to pursue it, pursue righteousness. So even though it is a gift, we are to pursue it. Maybe it would be even better to say to pursue the knowledge of righteousness. You're not trying to get righteousness when you're pursuing righteousness. The righteousness is a gift of God, right? We already talked about that. It's free. It's ours. It's a gift. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. But we can pursue the knowledge of our being righteous through what Jesus did for us. So when I say pursue righteousness, when Paul's talking to Timothy about pursuing righteousness, don't think of it as an effort in your own behavior to attain righteousness. You are righteous. Pursue the knowledge of your righteous. There's great benefit. There is a force of righteousness that benefits you. This is why it's so very important to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, to dig into the Word, to pray in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you are building yourself up on your most holy faith. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries to God. What's the harvest of that? You're going to reap mysteries from God. You're going to reap understanding of His Word. You're going to read, I don't pray in the Spirit enough. There's sometimes I pray in the Spirit and then I read my Bible. I'm like, oh, wow, why did I never see that before? Because I didn't pray about it in the Spirit before. And there's so much depth in the Word of God. I don't think we're ever going to get to a place where we really understand all the depth in the Word of God. But the more we pray in the Spirit, the more we get revealed, the more we listen to good teaching, the more that Word is going to open up to us. Remember, it's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. That Word is a force in our life. The Word is another force. And that's why, you know, I say, may the force be with you, and I'm not kidding. May the force of God's Word be with you in your life, in your mouth, and in your heart. I'm starting to get ahead of myself. I've got to be careful here. Let's go step by step, line on line, precept upon precept, right? So works do not produce righteousness. However, according to Romans 4:11, works are a sign of righteousness, which is by faith. So let's look at Romans 4, verse 11. And he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised. Remember, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, right? So he was already righteous because he believed God. But he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed or accounted to them also. What does that term imputed mean? So if I take out my credit card because I want to buy Beth a dozen roses, and I hand that credit card, or I scan the, now we don't even hand it over, now we scan it, right? If I scan that credit card to pay for the roses, and I take them and give them to her, have I paid for the roses? No, I haven't. But it's been imputed to me. The cost has been imputed. I'm going to receive a bill in the mail, actually via email now, right? So I'm going to receive a bill, and I'm going to pay for that later. So it says that righteousness might be imputed to them also, accounted. It's put on your account. You're righteous. You haven't paid for it. But you know what? That bill's not coming to you. Okay? Like if we were to go out to dinner and we decided we'd split the checks, right? You're going to get your check, I'm going to get my check. And the waitress comes and she puts the bill down in front of you, and I grab that, I take it, and I pay for it. That's what Jesus did. He took that bill, that righteousness that was imputed to him, that he paid for, and he gave it to us. That's the imputed. It's not, your sin is not counted against you. Righteousness is accounted towards you because of what Jesus did. It's so amazing. People talk about easy believism. I don't think it's easy. Jesus said it's work to believe him. But you know what? It's easy to receive it. Jesus already paid for it. We don't have to work for it. We just have to believe it. Okay, Romans 6:13. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Oh, wait, doesn't this sound like righteousness by works here? He's saying, don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness. What are my members? My hands, my arms, my feet, my legs, my mouth. The biggest problem we all have, right? My mouth. As instruments of unrighteousness, are we spitting out a bunch of unrighteousness when we talk to other people? We spit out righteousness at church, but when we get home, we spit out unrighteousness. So what's... Okay, remember the sign of righteousness? Works don't bring you righteousness, but they are a sign of righteousness. Righteousness is working inside of our hearts. And so that's what he's really talking about here. Don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Righteousness is a force. That force is going to have an effect. It's going to change the way we talk. It's going to change the way we work. It's going to change the way we move. And that's what he's talking about here. You are righteous. Don't act unrighteous. And he even gave us a weapon, a way to get that action to be correct. And we're going to talk about that yet. I'm jumping ahead again. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, I heard somebody talking about a sermon that they had heard. I think it was Andrew Womack's example. Of somebody taught him, they took a 2x4. And they started driving nails into that 2x4 and saying, well, this nail, that's like lying. This nail, that's like stealing. This nail, that's like, you know, doing another sin. This nail is another sin. And he put all these nails in. And then he pulled the nails out. He said, now, when you get saved, when you're forgiven from sin, but you're still scarred. The hole is still there. No, that's not. That you put on the new man. It's like God takes away that old rotten 2x4 with those nails in it. He throws it in a dumpster and he gives you a new one. And this one is a 1/4-inch steel 2x4 that sin can't penetrate. Right? This one is solid. This one is not, sin can't penetrate this one. You put on that new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness. You know what? You're holy. You were created in righteousness and holiness. You are righteous when you believe God. Okay? That's a new man. You are redeemed. You have been brought back. God paid for you with his blood, the blood of Jesus, and you are new. You are brand new. Yes, we still remember our old ways. We still remember our old sin. But that's why the battle is not out here between God and the devil. The battle is here between your ears. The battle is to forget what lies behind and to fight the good fight of faith, which is the fight to believe that what God said is true. That's where the fight is. It's between our ears. That's what holds us back, is when we don't believe God. And, you know, we can say we believe God and then go, ooh, I don't know if I can give any offering this morning because things are just so tight. Sow seed. If you believe that you're going to reap a harvest, you're going to be happy to sow that seed, knowing that that's going to get you out of the tight situation you're in. All right, now, putting on that new man, getting our members to act as members of righteousness is possible. God made a way. Right? 1 Corinthians 15:34. I love this verse. How many of you know what's going on around you when you are sound asleep? When you're snoring away, when you're sawing logs, how many of you are aware what's going on around you? You're not, right? So what is this verse saying? Verse 34, awake to righteousness and do not sin. Awake. Become conscious of. Become aware of. Know that it's there. You know, most of us are parents here. Some of us grandparents, finally. You know what? How many of you remember when you became awake because there was a small child standing beside your bed poking you? I can't sleep. I'm afraid. Whatever it was.
Hopefully not vomiting.
Yes, and hopefully not vomiting. You know, you wake up. You're suddenly aware of what's going on.
Absolutely.
You wake up to, I'm righteous because of what Jesus did for me.
Right.
When you awake to righteousness, not sinning isn't work, it's the natural outcome. awake to righteousness and sin not, is what the original King James says. Awake to righteousness, for some do not have knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. What's he saying? The more knowledge of God you have, the more you're going to be aware of your righteousness, the more you're going to wake up to your righteousness, the more you are not, sin is not going to be an issue for you. Sin is not going to be a problem. Why? Because we become aware of how that righteousness was attained, of the love that God has for us, the price that Jesus paid to make us righteous. It would be me, like me, showering love on my wife. What does that make her do? Go commit adultery with somebody else? No. The more I shower love on her, the more she falls in love with me. And when we awake to righteousness, when we become aware of, conscious, knowing the cost that that righteousness cost Jesus, the more we're going to feel that love that he has for us, the more we're going to want to please him and not go out and sin. So yes, is this a license to sin? Absolutely, it's a license to sin. We don't pay the price for our sin. Jesus paid for it. But when you become aware of that, then you don't want to sin. You want to please God. You want to please the one that loves you.
Yes.
Man, when I first met Beth, all I wanted to do was please her. Still want to please her a lot. That's why we're going to make pants it together tonight, because I want to please her. She loves that. Of course, so do I. Pleases me too. But, man, when we awake to righteousness and to the cost that was paid for our righteousness, the more we become awake to it, the more. How many of you wake up and you're a little groggy in the morning? You know, you walk around like this, kind of stumbling. Can't quit. Get that last eye open. You know, if I get out of bed some mornings right away when I wake up before, you know, laying there for a bit, I can be that person. You know, it takes you. I slowly become more aware of my surroundings, hopefully before I walk into the edge of the door, you know, or a door that I thought was open and it's closed, but I can't quite see it. You know, so as we awake, as we totally come out of that unconscious state into the consciousness of our righteousness and the love that God has for us that paid for our righteousness, the more we become aware of that love, the less sin is going to be an issue in our lives. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, not as a result of the work, but as a result of the knowledge of that righteousness. The knowledge of God, what he's talking about here. Wow, that is such a powerful verse. The force of righteousness will stop sin from ruling and reigning in your life. That's the force of righteousness. Isaiah 32, 15 through 19. Man, this is another one. The more I start getting into this passage, the more I think about this passage. What? Until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest, then justice will dwell, next one, in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. That righteousness is in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness. Righteousness does work in your life. This is not your work to attain righteousness. This is the work of righteousness in your life. What is that work? What does that work produce in your life? The work of righteousness will be peace. Stop right there. You know, it's amazing. I do not think that Google is a godly company. I think they're a very ungodly company. But I'll tell you what, you can search up a lot of godly things using search engines. Actually, I've been using DuckDuckGo lately, but the word there is shalom. Wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness, being complete, completeness. If it is complete, if it's whole, I'm complete. I'm not missing any fingers or toes. I'm not missing an ear. I'm not missing a nose. I don't have a glass eye. I'm complete. I'm whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That is the work of righteousness. Peace, wholeness, completeness. We're not even close to done yet. Hang on. Soundness. Body, mind, and soul. Being of sound mind. Some people think I'm crazy. Maybe I am. But this says I'm not. Righteousness says I have a sound mind. Laughing at me. Laughing in my general direction. You too. It's because they know me so well. So nothing, soundness, body, mind, and spirit. Wellness, being well, not being sick. That is what righteousness works in your life. Peace, wellness. And peace, I'm going to say this, no fear. How many of you are at peace when you are afraid of something? Not. Listen to that thunderstorm. Listen to that hail hitting my roof. That might be a tornado knocking a roof off the house. Well, I guess I'll just sit here. No. It's the peace that says, storm, you ain't touching my house. Hit the road. Because God gave me that authority. That's that peace. It's a peace that's not afraid of the storm. It's the peace that commands the storm to depart. That is the peace that we're talking about. No fear. The economy's collapsing. I don't care. I sowed my seed. I'm going to reap my harvest. That peace. Oh, no. That party is in office again. No. I got peace because I'm sowing my seed. I live in righteousness. God is my defense. My righteousness guards me. I don't have to be worried about what's happening to the United States or whatever country you live in. It doesn't matter because righteousness guards me. Righteousness is my armor. Righteousness protects me. The work of righteousness, peace, and the effect of righteousness, the effect of that peace is going to be quietness and assurance as long as everything's going well. No, quietness and assurance forever, no matter what's going on around you, knowing that because your righteousness guards you, your righteousness defends you, your righteousness is your armor. Your righteousness is life. Your righteousness establishes you. The righteousness not based on what you do, but based on what Jesus did for you. That righteousness is going to give you quietness and assurance forever. Amen. That's the work. Righteous, that's the force of righteousness. How many of you know that when you look at the law of physics, to get work done requires a force? You cannot move an object that is at rest until you apply force on that object to move it in whatever direction. That force of righteousness, that work of righteousness, is peace, and the effect of righteousness, the effect of that peace, quietness and assurance forever. I am assured that God has got my back.
Amen.
I am assured that God wants me to have an abundance for every good work.
Amen.
I am assured that God wants me to walk in health and wholeness. I am assured that when I speak to my knees and tell them, you quit hurting me and you start working the way you're supposed to work, that's what's going to happen. That's what I expect to happen. You will get what you expect, the Word of God. Don't fear. Don't be afraid of a pain. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of death. No fear. No fear here. I will not allow fear in my life. If I start feeling fear, I'm going to speak the word and drive that fear out. Because I have righteousness given to me by Jesus, which gives me peace, no fear, which gives me quietness and assurance that his word is going to come to pass. The force of righteousness. Sorry, I'm getting a little excited about this, but man, this is amazing. This is where we're not living and where we need to be living. We need to rely on that force of righteousness. May that force be with you. Okay? I like the movies, but they didn't teach you this kind of stuff, but it's there. That force is with you. You got to use it. You can't just let it lay there. Romans 8:10. How many of you woke up breathing this morning? And if Christ, the anointing, the anointed blood is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. You're alive. You're not dead. The Word of God is life, and that is the life of the righteousness that is on the inside of you. That is the life inside of you. You are righteous. You have life. Life that can raise the dead.
Amen.
The same Spirit that rose that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, and it'll sit there dormant if you don't use it. How do you use it? You speak it out of your mouth. Is that the next one? No. James 1:20. I have trouble with this because I get angry, especially with certain situations happen at work. I get hot under the collar, and then I talk to my wife, and she talks me down. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Yeah, get mad at the devil, but then in your anger at the devil, in your anger at the circumstances that are causing you to be angry in your life, start spitting the word out. Go after it. Be angry, but don't sin. Because your wrath doesn't produce righteousness. The Word of God produces righteousness. So when you get angry, start speaking the word. Call that situation what you want it to be, not what you see it as. Cause that person that's causing you all those problems to get an offer they can't refuse and go leave and work somewhere else. Bless them. Yeah, get them saved. My wife says, honey, you just need to pray that he'll receive Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, you know. James 3:18. This is just so when we get mad, we get angry at somebody because they let the devil run their life. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. How do you make peace? Yelling at somebody?
No.
No. Pray for them. The fruit of righteousness is sown, because fruit has seed in it, right? Is sown in peace by those who make peace. So that fruit of righteousness, that peace, that righteousness works that peace. You need to take that peace and sow it and make peace. Because you have that quietness, that assurance that God's got your back. This situation is not going to destroy you. Take that peace, use it, sow it, and get peace to grow. Okay? Man, I need that so bad. Like, I tell you guys, when I'm talking to you, I'm dealing with you, I'm telling you what God's talking to me about. The things I'm not perfect, I don't get it all right, but man, studying for this, a lot of things where I'm stepping on my own toes, where God's going, you need to work on this. Stop being angry. Speak peace. Pursue righteousness. Pursue the knowledge of God. Righteousness speaks. Romans 10:6. Wow. Righteousness speaks for you. Did we not get Romans 10:6 there? See who can get it faster here. Well, this, I bought a cheap tablet. It is slow. I wanted to, I wasn't going to get that big, Apple thing. Here we go. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or, next verse. You didn't get the whole verse in there. There we go. We'll get it. See, it's faster than my tablet. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But, going for my glasses and grabbing the mic.
It's there.
Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. God has given you His word, His power, His authority, and has licensed you to speak it. You can speak the word of God with the same effect that if He spoke it Himself. That is righteousness speaking for you. When you take that word, let's just read that whole thing over again. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith with which we preach. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Don't just speak it, trying to get yourself to believe it. Get yourself to believe it and then speak it. Faith, believing what God says is true no matter what we see with our eyes. That word of faith is full of power when you believe it. And God has given you His word and He's licensed you to speak it with the power that He put in it. It is the word of God coming out of your mouth that is going to change the circumstances in your life. That is where it's at. And we've got more. I'm dragging on here. We got to get going. Oh, man. This is just, there's so much here. God has licensed us to speak his word and change our lives. So how do we get righteousness? Jesus gave us our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin was made to be sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in the anointed blood, in Christ, in him, in Jesus. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Jesus, who was perfect, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in the blood of Jesus. The anointed blood. I'm telling you. Then we're going to go back to Romans 10 and get the next two verses from where we were. So I'm going to take it all the way 6 through. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Wow. 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 God has given you his word. He's licensed you to speak it. If you believe it, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. What did we say back in the beginning? Faith, believing what God said is true, is where we're getting our righteousness. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. When you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, it's counted to you as righteousness. Speak it out of your mouth. When you declare Jesus is Lord, you are righteous from that moment on. I don't care if you acted like Adolf Hitler before. It doesn't matter. It's all under the blood. You are right. And you know what? If you go out and mess up tomorrow, it doesn't matter. You're still righteous. Speak that word. He's given you the power to speak his word. Confession is made unto salvation. That's not just confessing Jesus is Lord. That's confessing I have an abundance to give. That's confessing I am healed. I don't care what my body feels like. That is confessing whatever the solution to your situation is. That is confessing I have a working car. That is confessing my bills are paid. That is confessing my body is well, my house is fixed, my car is fixed. That is confessing I have a good job that pays me money so that I can sow seed and reap a harvest. That is your confession, but what do you have to do? First, get that hope out there. All month long, last month, Tom talked about hope. Hope, seeing what you cannot see with your eyes, and faith working on that hope. Confess that. Believe it. It's going to change your life. It's going to make you a different person when you start believing what you're saying, because your righteousness is that force behind that believing. It's going to make it happen. The force of righteousness is a huge force in your life. Have you made that confession? Do you believe God raised Jesus from the dead? Have you declared Jesus as Lord? You know, you don't get saved by works. And it's the only religion in the world that works that way, because it's the only true one. Praise God, Jesus paid the price. We don't have to. We're righteous because of what we believe. And that righteousness works. It's a force in our life. It does all these things for us. But if you don't believe it, it's not going to work for you. It's so important to get your belief out there. to know what is yours and tell the devil, hit the road. You know, if you resist the devil, he will flee. Hit the road, Jack. You're not bringing this sickness on me. I am healed. I am strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for attaining steadfastness with patience and joy. Knee, quit hurting me. Pedal that bike. Walk up that hill. I am not walk up those stairs. I take stairs at hotels and O'Hare Airport all the time. Because you know what? My knee works. And most of the time it doesn't hurt. Every once in a while, though, the devil tried to bring that little bit of pain back. And I'll find where some stairs. I'm going to climb them. Because I'm going to do what the devil's trying to tell me I can't do. Because I got the force of righteousness working in my life. Amen. I weigh 175 pounds. I'm getting there. The more I confess that, the closer I get to it. I kind of got off that for a couple months and suddenly it started going the other direction. I'm telling you, God has put his word in your heart. When you stick this word in your heart, when you start speaking it out of your mouth, that force of righteousness forces change in your life. Praise God. It is so fabulous. 2 Corinthians 9:10, that righteousness bears fruit. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. The fruit of your righteousness, health, wholeness, security, endurance, establishment. All those things. I hope you wrote some of them down. I know I'm bad about taking notes myself. You know what? Let's go bear some fruit this week. Amen. Let's go bear that fruit of righteousness. Being established in the Word of God. Receiving from Him. Oh, praise God. He is so good to us. We need to walk in that goodness. We need to be a shining example. What do I always say? A walking billboard for the goodness of God in your life. Because you know what? When people see that, they want it. That is what the world wants. And they're going to come after it. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of righteousness. Thank you for the gift of your Son. The anointed blood that has paid the price for our sin and made us righteous in right standing with you. That brings that force of righteousness to bear in our life. Thank you for it, Lord. You know, if you need to rededicate yourself this morning, if you need the love of Jesus in your life, let's just do it again. Father, we believe your word. We believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. And we declare with our mouths, Jesus is Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Well, there's some refreshments. Joyce is standing at the door waiting to feed us and give us some coffee.